Ok, start again. The free field which we described in previous lesson did come. Oops, what's happening here? Sorry, something is wrong. This cable has some problem. Okay. Oh. Definitely a bad connection. Let me detach and attach again. Okay. Here we are. Sorry. It was a point source creating a spherical wave. Now we are going to study linear source creating cylindrical waves. This has many applications, and particularly transportation system, road, railways, aircraft trajectories, and so on. Because the source now is not fixed, it's moving along a line. So, when there are many sources traveling along the same line, on the average, in time, you can think that this is a line source, a long sequence of point sources distributed uniformly along a straight line. This is the most simple case. Then there are curved lines, but now let me consider just the straight line, okay? So, you are a certain distance from your line source, let me call D this distance from the line source, and every piece of this of the line is actually one point source at a distance R. And we can compute the contribution of the sound arriving to the receiver from the source located in this small piece of the line, in this segment of the line, because we know the free field formula which we have introduced in the previous hour. So it's not a problem. Then you take another segment, R is changing, recompute the contribution here. Then there is another one, R is changing, compute the contribution, and so on, so on, so on. You, of course, need to sum all the contribution of all the segments. And when you make the sum, as we explained during the previous lesson, there are two ways of computing the summation in decibel: incoherent summation and coherent summation. In most cases, you use incoherent summation because this represents the sound being radiated by noise source which are completely uncorrelated, different cars, okay? So they create different sound with different spectrum, with different phase, with different everything. So they are going to sum incoherently. If you make the computation of all the contribution with the previous formula and you make the integral with x ranging from minus infinity to plus infinity, you work out the integral and you get this very simple and nice result. Lp equal Lw first, here there is a small affix. L first is the sound power level per meter of line source. So each segment is long 1 meter. And W first is the power radiated by such a segment 1 meter long. So LW is called the unit power, the power radiated by 1 meter. So is the unit power minus 10 times the logarithm of d, minus 6. 6 is a constant, is a geometrical constant, is the equivalent to the minus 11 for the point source. Now it's minus 6 when you have incoherent emission, and it is minus 8 when it is coherent emission. So, strangely, in this case, the coherent sun gives you less than the incoherent sun. Why? Because in incoherent sun, all these segments always contribute some additional positive contribution to the result. Every segment works bringing up the level. Instead, when you make coherent summation, as the distance R is changing, some segment will arrive with a delay which correspond to an integer number of periods. And this delay will make the phase to be the same for the two contributions, and so the coherent summation will bring the gain up. But some other segment will be at some distance where the phase is reversed, and so they will decrease the level at the receiver. In the end, half of the segments are contributing positively, half of the segments are contributing negatively to the summation. So it is no surprise that summing, integrating over all the segments, when everyone is contributing positively, you get a result which is 2 decibel louder than when you make coherent summation, and alternatively, one segment is giving you positive contribution, the next one is negative, the next one is positive, and so on. In this case, they partially allied each other, so in the end you get less level. Okay? These two very simple formulas allow you to compute the sound propagation away from a line source. There is one big difference from the spherical source. This big difference is that in the point source, in the spherical source, the relationship with distance was minus 20 log R, because the sound intensity was decreasing as the square of the distance, and now there is 10 logarithm D, because now the surface of the cylinder increases linearly with R, not with the square of R. Consider the case of the pulsating cylinder, which by definition is a coherent source, because all the points of the cylinder come out simultaneously and all points squeeze in simultaneously. So this is a coherent source where there is coherent summation. So making this energetical analysis will give us the theoretical coherent emission result, this formula here. We are deriving this formula here. You see, there is your line source. You surround it with an infinitely long cylinder of radius R, and you make again the computation of the intensity as the power divided the surface, and now the surface is 2 pi Greek R L, where L is the length of your cylinder. Bring it to the definition of intensity level in decibel. Again, play the trick of multiplying and dividing by W0. Again, the term W0 slash I0 goes away. So what you get in the end is this equation, in which the first term is what we call the unit power. That is the power per unit length of source, per 1 meter of source. This is the first term, and we have called it LV first. Minus 10 times the logarithm of 2 pi grad, which is minus 8, minus 10 times the logarithm of r, and so we get back to the formula goal. When the summation is incoherent, you get 6 instead of 8. But that's the only difference. So what happens in practice is that the distance is an effect of reducing the level, but now the reduction is much smaller, because when doubling the distance, you get 3 decibel less, not 6 decibel less. In practice, going far from a line source is not so effective as going far from a point source. I told you, why you build your house close to the factory? Go more far and the level will drop. And that's true. This does not work so effectively with an highway. If you are too close to the highway, they tell you, oh, but please, bring your house more far. When it is already built, it's not easy to change the position of the house. But nevertheless, the point is that it's not so effective, because doubling the distance only reduces 3 decibels, and quadruplicating the distance reduces 6, while quadruplicating the distance from a point source reduces 12. So the difference between the two decays becomes larger and larger as you increase the distance. In the end, for most line sources, going far is not the answer, because you find another line source, particularly road, particularly in a dense populated area, like here in the North Italy. You go far from an highway and you find another highway or another heavily trafficked road. So you can know where to go, because there is always some road around you, and you are never safe from noise. That's the problem. The noise tends to become everywhere, because it does not decay significantly with distance. That's the problem with a line source. But this can also be an advantage. When you are building a source for creating sound, I am talking about loudspeaker system, you want to project the sound over a wide area, because, for example, you are doing a rock concert in a stadium, or even in the countryside. Very large rock concerts were organized just in the countryside, with, for example, 100,000 audience listening to the concert. How can you provide sound to such a large crowd of people, distant perhaps 300 meters from the stage where the musicians are playing? How can you project the sound so far? With point sources like this loudspeaker in this room, it's impossible. If you want to have enough sound pressure level at 300 meters, the sound pressure level close to the source will be dangerous for people, too loud. You are going to kill the people seated in the first row. You cannot use point source for an open-air rock concert. You are really going to damage the hearing of the people or to kill them. But if you instead use a line source loudspeaker, then the situation is different, because the decrease with distance is much smaller. So you can really create a loudspeaker system which can project the sound up to 300 meters far. And these line sources, line arrays, they are called, usually they are built stacking each one over the other, say 20 or 30 small loudspeaker box. You create a pile of loudspeaker, a tower of loudspeaker, which can be 15 or 20 meters tall. You usually create two on the two sides of the stage, and then you project the sound at hundreds of meters of distance without a lot of attenuation. Of course, the sound will be closer, will be louder close to the source. When you go far, it will reduce, but not so dramatically. So it becomes feasible to organize rock concert thanks to this line loudspeaker array. Another interesting application is the study of traffic noise. The noise coming from vehicles. Along the road, you have a number of point sources, a number of cars, you think, traveling with a certain speed. We usually called large V, the speed, in kilometers per hour, which is typically the unit employed for cars on the road, not meter per second. Usually loudspeaker, usually cars are rated in terms of speed in kilometers per hour. Okay? Okay. What happens? That the distance between two cars, A is the distance between the center of one car to the center of the next car, okay? From the acoustic center of two cars. This distance changes with velocity with this very simple formula. The distance is given by the velocity divided the number of vehicles per hour passing through your road, which is the traffic flow, and multiply by 1,000 because you change the kilometers to meters if you want A in meters, as is usual. So in practice, when you have the sound power level of one car and you know the distance between one car and the next, you can easily compute LV first by diluting the power of the vehicle over the length of the segment, which is for this vehicle. Every vehicle captures a segment of road long a meter, independent on the real length of the vehicle. This is the distance between the center of one car and the center of the next. In practice, this distance increases as you go faster. So, if you come back to this formula, the sound level reduces if cars go faster. Because if cars go faster, they are more spaced along the road. If the speed of the traffic reduces, the cars pass each other. They are closer to each other. And so, LV first will increase. Of course, we are thinking that LV of one vehicle stay constant. This is not really true, because LW for a typical road vehicle is constant at slow speed, but increasing the speed up to 50 km per hour is constant. Above 50 km per hour, the power level increases linearly between 50 and 100. So it increases 3 decibels, more or less, ramping up from 50 to 100 km per hour. Above 100 km per hour, this slope becomes 6 decibels by doubling, because aerodynamical effect take control of the problem, and so the power level increase with the square of velocity, 6 decibel by doubling. So this is the chart of a typical car, giving you the power level of the car as a function of its speed. What happens? Up to 50 km per hour, the sound level caused by the vehicle running on the road will decrease as the speed increases, because the vehicle will be more sparse with each other, and they will pass quicker, and so they will stay less time close to you. And so in practice, the noise reduces. And this go up even when the speed starts increasing. This is 20, 30, 40, this is 50. Until 50, of course, the level is reducing. But it continues reducing even if the power is increasing, because the two effects are not yet balanced. they balance each other around typically 70 km per hour. Where you get a minimum? The minimum noise is not when the car are very slow. The minimum noise, the optimal speed, which today vehicles, is around 70 km per hour. Then the increase in power level start to become important and to take over the reduction of level causing by the increased distance among vehicles. So the sound level at the receiver start to increase again. What's the conclusion of this analysis? There is no point to reduce the speed. If in town you insert those 30 km per hour areas, also called silent areas, they are actually not silent areas, they are noisy areas, because if you reduce the speed of the car, the sound level will increase, will not decrease, because the car pack each other, and so they become more noisy, and they stay longer in front of you. It takes more time for them to go away. And so, also if the traffic is sporadic, yet the noise increases. Reducing the speed is the wrong answer to the urban noise problem. You should increase the speed. Taking away the speed limit of 50 km per hour and push up the limit to 70 km per hour, which is the optimal speed for reducing noise. Of course, for this being safe, you must build your road accordingly to a target design velocity of 70 km per hour. You need to have larger turn, larger roundabouts, better visibility, and you must bring more light over pedestrian cross passage, and so on. So the road must be safe, and for being safe at 70 km per hour, it requires that the designer of the road takes proper care of the safety issues. But if you want to reduce the noise in the road where you live, you should ask your municipality, the chief of your town, to increase the speed, not to reduce the speed. If he manages to increase the speed up to 70 km per hour, you usually get a reduction of 1.5 decibel above 50 km per hour, which is normal speed. But if for any reason you live in an area where the limit was already 30 km per hour, then you can get a reduction of up to 3 decibel, allowing the speed to increase. The same is true for stop light. If you have a crossing with a stop light, the car there stops, so their speed goes to zero. When their speed goes to zero, the noise goes up. And so a crossway with traffic light is very noisy. Remove the light, traffic flow more freely, the noise reduces. A traffic light increases the noise. The best reduction is with a roundabout. With a roundabout, the car never stops. They always flow, the speed is higher, and the noise is lesser. Okay? It's counterintuitive. But if you work out this very simple formula, it's so obvious. And the same happens for chemical pollution. It's exactly the same. The emission of chemical pollutants by a car has the same law. Constant at low speed, then it increases. So again, also for chemical pollution, reducing the speed is the worst thing to go, because the car stays in front of you. It does not go away quickly. You want it goes away as quickly as possible. Polluting elsewhere, not here. Please go away from here. That's the concept. And unfortunately, it is very simple physical fact are completely not understood by people having the job of ruling our town, of making regulation for traffic and so on. They think that reducing speed will ameliorate the environmental situation. And instead, it goes worse and worse. Okay? I attempted to explain this to many officers in municipality. It's very hard to convince them that they should increase the speed instead of reducing. Luckily enough, here in Parma, we manage more or less to get this. Still, there are some quarters who asked to reduce the speed to 30 km per hour. And for political reasons, they were satisfied. Their request was satisfied. They asked to reduce the speed to 30 km per hour. We explained them, the noise is going to increase, the air pollution is going to increase. They still insisted, because there are those guys, those people coming from WWF or Italia Nostra, or those people are not technically prepared. They fight for environmental protection without any physical knowledge of the problems. So what happens is that those guys insisted for reducing speed as a way of reducing noise and air pollution. The system for reducing the speed were installed. They are usually bumpers, forcing the car to reduce the speed for avoiding to boom over this small rising of the floor. So the speed is really reduced. You cannot go fast over those things. Those things are noisy inside and causing braking and reaccelerating, also increase the production of chemical pollutants. So it's really the worst thing to do, to install those devices. But people want them because they are ignorant, is the only answer. They don't know this fact, and so they are installed, and of course the situation gets worse and worse. Okay? Now we have to talk about the excess attenuation. Someone in the previous hour told you, but there is no attenuation. Yeah, in the free pill formulas there is no attenuation. In the real world, there can be some attenuation. We called it excess attenuation because the great part of attenuation is still the geometrical effect, the divergence is called, the spreading over a wider area effect. That is the great part of the sound reduction resistance. But some small excess attenuation can be there. And we see a number of possible causes of additional attenuation. These are air absorption, which only occurs at high frequency, but at high frequency is important. The presence of vegetation, foliage, woods, grass, plants and so on, they absorb the sound. Meteorological condition, and we see mostly two effects. Temperature gradients, when the air temperature is not constant, the sound does not travel anymore with straight rays, but the propagation ray curve. And wind speed gradients, again, is not the wind with modify the sound propagation, is the wind speed gradient, the variation of wind speed with the elevation above the ground. If the wind had the same speed everywhere, the wind has no effect on sound propagation. But when the wind speed changes with elevation, as usually it happens, then you have effect. Finally, the presence of obstacles, hills, buildings, noise barriers, if there is something in between the source and the receiver, the obstacle usually reduces the sound. So, how we insert this excess attenuation inside our free field formula? Here we have the point source formula, but the same is with the other formula, the cylindrical formula. This is the spherical. We simply add here, or better, we simply subtract here, delta L. Delta L is the excess attenuation. So in practice, excess attenuation is represented by this level variation, level reduction, which subtracts some decibel from the formula. Let me see the meteorological effect. In the hot air, the sound runs faster. In the cool or cold air, the sound travels less fast. The sound speed is smaller. This means that when there is normal temperature increasing going towards the sky, sound rays are curved downwards. This does not produce excess attenuation actually. This actually instead makes it possible for the sound to jump over an obstacle. Here there can be an obstacle, and still the sound arrives from the source to the receiver because the ray is not straight, is curved, so it passes over the obstacle. And this happens when there is normal temperature increase going toward the sky. But there are situations in which instead the ground is hot, and going up you get cool air. This particularly during summer, when the sun is heating the ground, but it is not heating the air because the air is transparent. So the sun radiation heats the ground but does not heat the air. In this case, during summer, the sound ray propagates with an upper curvature, and at a given distance from the source, there is a shadow area or shadow zone, because given a certain height of the source, there is a limit curved ray which is tangent to the ground, and below this limit ray there is no sound because the ground itself works as a noise barrier, as a noise screen. This is typical during summer. So you have a negative temperature gradient, the temperature reduces going up in the sky, and in this case you get a shadow zone, which is quite interesting because you are, for example, 100 meters away from an highway and you see the truck passing, but you don't hear nothing. Silence. Complex silence. You don't hear anything. So if you manage to get this effect, for noise control, it's very good. Unfortunately, during winter, usually, the opposite happens. Or also during night. During night, the radiation of the heat from the ground towards the sky cools the ground, the air is still hot here far from the ground. After 2 or 3 hours after the sun falls down, you get the inverted gradient. During the day with the sun you have the shadow zone, you don't hear anything. It becomes night, the ground cools, and you go in this situation here on the left, and you start hearing the sound because the sound is passing over obstacle. And either if you are 3 or 4 kilometers far, for example, from the railway, during the night in summer you hear the train at 2 kilometers distance, while usually you don't hear anything at such a distance. So this is the typical effect of the temperature gradient. Similar effect is caused by the wind speed. Normally the wind has very low speed at the ground, currently zero speed at contact of the ground, and going up the speed of wind increases. So there is a positive wind gradient. When there is a positive wind gradient, the wind velocity sums vectorially with the speed of sound, and the two effects combined curve the rays. Upwind, the rays are curved upward, so again you get the shielding area. Downwind, the rays curve downward, so you don't get any shoulder area, and instead you get this capability of pass over the obstacle. This is the reason for which people think that the wind carries sound. When you are downwind from a noise source, you hear it very well. When you are upwind, you cannot hear it at all if you are in the shadow area, or you can hear it attenuated if you are outside the shadow area, but still the rays are diverging, so the sound is weaker. So people not understanding this physical fact, they think the normal explanation given is that the air flow carries the sound, which is a completely wrong explanation. If the air was moving with a perfectly flat profile, there will be no effect at all. And the sound level upwind and downwind will be the same at the same distance. If the speed profile is flat, the point is that the speed profile is not flat. There is a gradient. The gradient curves the ray, and it is the ray curvature which produces this effect of amplification downwind and attenuation upwind. Do you understand? There is no carrying of the sound. It's just curving the ray due to the speed gradient. If there was no speed gradient, if the profile of velocity was flat, then there was no curvature of the ray and no difference between upwind and downwind propagation. It's clear? Finally, we have air absorption. Air absorption comes from molecular interaction. And humidity is also very important in that molecular interaction. Wet air transmits sound much better than dry air. If you could make the air perfectly dry, it will attenuate a lot. But there is always a lot of humidity in air. So in normal condition, with 50 or 70% of humidity, usually the attenuation in dB per kilometer, you see the number here are decibel per kilometer. Usually the value is quite small. 1 decibel per kilometer are at 250 Hz, which is the frequency where most of the energy of noise traffic noise is most at 250 Hz. Diesel engines, okay, low frequency. Perhaps 500 for car, but not more. So you only get 2 decibel per kilometer, which is actually nothing. At higher frequency, you get much larger attenuation. Look here, 36 decibel per kilometer starts to be an interesting attenuation. But this 88 is really huge. The humidity was very small, so this is not really possible except in the Sahara Desert, okay? But here in Italy, where you get 20% humidity, nowhere is impossible. But 20-30 decibel at 4 kHz per kilometer is already quite a huge attenuation. So what is this? This is a frequency-dependent attenuation. It is a filter making the sound different. Close to the source, the sound is brilliant because there are a lot of high frequency. Far from the source, the sound is muddy, the sound is dull, because all the high frequency are gone. You only hear low frequency. And that is not nice. Come back to the concert, the rock concert in the countryside. You can really give a lot of power at 300 meters from the source, but not at very high frequency. Because at very high frequency, air absorption kills the signal. So what happens is that L2, the level in awaited decibel, is still good. At 300 meters from the stage, the sound quality will be terrible. because all the high frequency harmonic of music is gone, you only get the fundamental. So you still hear the note, you still hear the voice of the singer, but all the high frequency are gone and the experience is not so good. You hear very bad. I remember 3 or 4 years ago, Mr. Ligabue did a big concert near Reggio Emilia with 200,000 people. 3/4 of them were so far from the stage that the sound was really terrible. And they did complain a lot. And the sound level was there. They asked to the technician, push up, push up, we cannot hear. And the technician did boost the gain to the limit of the system. It was a 500,000 watt system. Okay? So it was a powerful sound system. There was gain to kill people, actually, if you did exceed. But it was never enough, because it boosted a lot the level at low frequency, but high frequency were not arriving. So the sound was even worse, boosting up the gain. Even worse. This is a problem where there is no solution. The air is absorbing. When the air is wet, it absorbs less. But what you make, the fog for making sound reproduction good, if there is the fog, you don't see the stage at all. People are not going to a concert outdoor inside the fog. So there is no solution to this problem. Okay. We have now the last part, which is the barriers. What is a barrier? A barrier is a wall which is built between the source and the receiver. When you build such a wall, you get some sound attenuation. And the sound attenuation is defined by the difference without the barrier, is the difference between the sound level in decibel without the barrier and the sound level after the barrier is installed. This attenuation of the barrier is usually called the insertion loss, delta L. Okay? The barrier does not kill completely the sound, even if it blocks completely the direct sound connecting the source with the receiver. If the wall is thick and heavy, the direct sound will be killed completely. There will be no direct sound at all. So the direct sound dies completely. But still, you get sound diffracted by the upper edge, diffracted, turning around the side edge of the screen. And if you are unlucky, there will be some other reflecting surface which reflect the sound directly to the receiver without being intercepted by the barrier. All these effects are complex to compute. What we can do is take only the most relevant effect, which is the upper side diffraction. And compute the attenuation just for the path passing over the upper edge of the screen, neglecting the other trajectories. We have a very simple experimental formula. There is no theory behind this, just collection of experimental data. You see here the point in this chart are all experimental measurements. And the blue line is the Maekawa formula. The Maekawa formula, there is also the Kirchhoff formula, which is the black line here. And the black line here is wrong, because the experimental data are much better fitted by the Maekawa formula than from the theory of Mr. Kirchhoff. Okay. So the blue line is for point source, and the red line is for the line source, like roads or railways. The basic of the Maekawa formula is the Fresnel number. What is the Fresnel number? The Fresnel number is called N. N is defined by 2 delta divided lambda, where delta is the diffracted path, the path passing over the upper edge of the screen, minus the direct path. So, the diffracted path is A plus B minus D, which is the source-receiver distance. You compute delta in meter, you make the ratio 2 delta divided lambda. This means that the Fresnel number depends on frequency. And generally speaking, the Fresnel number increases with frequency. Increasing the frequency increases the Fresnel number. Once you have got the Fresnel number for your screen, you go to the Maikawa formulas, which are two. The first one is for a point source, 10 times the logarithm of 3 plus 20 n, and the second one is 4 line source, 10 times the logarithm of 2 plus 5.5 n. These two formula correspond to the two line, the blue line and the red line, in the Maikawa chart. So, with this very simple formula, you can easily compute your sound screen attenuation, the exit attenuation of an obstacle, knowing the geometry of your site, because you need to know those distances, and often you need to employ the Pythagoras theorem for computing this length, but it's not difficult. Even a child can do this computation with the traditional Pythagoras theorem, and then you know the distances, you compute delta, divide by lambda, get the Fresnel number, go to the Maikawa formula, get the attenuation in decibel. It's that easy. This is also a typical exercise for the exam. During the lesson in which we will make the solution of some problem typical for the exam, one of the problem will be the solution of the Maikawa problem for a chart. If the barrier is not infinite in length, we also need to consider the side diffraction. You see here, the diffraction on the left side and on the right side. This is the left side and this is the right side. So the sound diffracted here, again, has a delta and A is a Fresnel number. Let me call them N1 and N2. The two Fresnel numbers corresponding to the vertical edge of your screen. If the screen is very long, you can neglect this. But if the screen is short, then you need to compute also the diffraction of the side edge. And they are going to reduce the attenuation compared to the one computed only for the upper edge. Delta LD is the attenuation of the upper edge. You apply this correction factor, minus 10 times the logarithm of 1 plus n/n1 plus n/n2. When n1 and n2 are very large, these terms become negligible, and so you come back to the upper edge attenuation only. Whenever the barrier is short, n1 and n2 are comparable to n, these factors are there, and the real attenuation reduces because some energy is also passing on the side of the screen. The rule for understanding if the side is important or not is to compare the distance from the side to the effective height of the screen. What is the effective height of the screen? It's not the height of the screen from the ground, but it is height of the screen from the direct path. So you connect the source with the receiver, and you see how much the upper edge of the screen is above this line. This is the effective height of the screen. If the side edge are more than 5 times the effective height, then their effect is negligible and you can only compute the attenuation of the screen taking into account the diffraction of the upper edge. So it is usually a designer always design the screen in such a way that this condition is true. So you don't have to care of the side of the screen because the screen is long enough. So the rule is always design a screen which is long enough so that you don't have to take care of the sound turning around on the side. Finally, we have seen that lambda or f, the frequency, are inside the Fresnel number. Increasing f, increasing n. Increasing n, increase the attenuation. So the same screen attenuate not a lot at low frequency. You see here at low frequency the attenuation is very small, just 1 or 2 decibels perhaps. As the frequency go up, the screen attenuate the spectrum of your source more and more. You see, as the frequency go up, the attenuation grows. What this means? The chart is quite self-explanatory. You see that the spectrum change. Without the screen, the sound goes perhaps. You mount the screen, the sound is. You only hear low frequency, which can be more disturbing. To some people, they make them to fear something. They are apprehensive people, and hearing a sound with a lot of low frequency make them remember to the lion in the forest, I don't know. But they cannot sleep because there is this low frequency background noise and you are scared, oh, what is that? When instead you have a very brilliant sound, you say, ah, okay, that's the car on the road, no problem, and you sleep. So you install the barrier and people complain. This is one aspect, because you change the spectrum of the noise. You are always reducing, also at low frequency, but the perception is that you boosted low frequency, because the high frequency are gone, and you only hear the low frequency, and the too much low frequency is a bit scary, okay? Second effect for you who make the computation, if you have a spectrum like that, with a certain total level awaited, there is no simple formula for computing the awaited total level in dBA with just one formula, because the attenuation is different at different frequency. So you cannot easily tell, oh, this screen is going to attenuate 12 dBA. You don't know, because there is a different attenuation at a very different frequency. And depending on how much energy there was at every frequency, the total weighted level after the barrier is installed has to be recomputed. So how do you make the computation? And this will be the exercise the next time. The computation is this way. You have your octave band spectrum of the noise without the screen. At every center frequency of every octave, you compute the attenuation, you apply the attenuation, you get the new octave band spectrum, and you recompute the total awaited level from the attenuated spectrum. There is no other way. You need to make the computation frequency by frequency. You need to know the spectrum of your source. You cannot only make the computation of a barrier knowing the awaited value. You need to know the spectrum because you need to make the computation separately at 10 frequency band. You know, usually an octave band calculation is enough in this case. So you need to measure the spectrum of the signal, at least with an octave band analyzer, make the computation of the screen attenuation at every octave, and then recompute the total average level after the screen is installed. And this is what we are going to do when we will make the exercise, which is a typical exercise for the exam as well. Okay. I think we have finished. Any questions?